So, middle way ethics. I mean, this is a subject dear to my heart, really, because at the heart of the project when it started was ethics. And when I started my PhD work in 1997, it was setting out to resolve the problem of objectivity in ethics using resources from the Buddhist tradition in the context of Western thought. That was my sort of PhD proposal.
Like a challenge.
So, the idea of moral objectivity has always been central to the idea, and then really the other aspects of it became important as I recognised that there was no way one could simply address ethics without addressing all these other things. They were necessary conditions for any resolution of the issues to do with ethics. But nevertheless, ethics has an obvious practical importance. And so I want to start really with some reflections about the place of ethics today, because it seems to me that ethics is in a somewhat sad condition in our society. Not that people are unethical, it's not that kind of sad condition. If anything, I think general levels of objectivity, including moral behaviour overall, as Stephen Pinker gives evidence for, it's probably improving on the whole, taking the whole global picture in a gradual and not entirely consistent way. But at the same time, we seem to be rather confused about ethics, both at a personal and a political level. And a number of philosophers, but particularly Alistair MacIntyre, is an interesting one, who have written about this problem and tried to engage with it. And the basis of the difficulty seems to be the loss of traditional metaphysical beliefs about the justification of ethics. So maybe you could start the story of that with the death of God announced by Nietzsche at the end of the 19th century. There were also people like Dostoevsky saying at that time that if God is dead, then anything is permitted, that there's no ethics anymore if there's no big boss to tell us what the ethics are. And that's perhaps at the base of a sort of loss of clarity about what we ought to be doing, really. And a search in 20th century thought for alternatives or for other ways of thinking about ethics. And I suppose the philosophical alternatives go back to well into the 19th and even 18th century, so we've got Kantian ethics and utilitarianism and so on. But there was still an issue, even if you're trying to follow one of these philosophical theories of ethics, there's still the question of, well, why are we doing this? What's the point? What makes this right? Where we are today with this, it seems that very often ethics seems to have been privatised, in that people tend to, and this is in my experience, but I'm generalising, but people tend to think about ethics as a matter of personal belief. So you choose your ethics, and it seems to be relatively rare for people to actually take the ethical challenge implied by someone else's choice as important to them. In that, perhaps it's somebody close to you or somebody that you're having a lot of discussion with. But for example, if I talk to a colleague at work about being a vegan, they might say, "Well, that's nice," or they might, ask me about my reasons for it, and then we go on to something else, And they're not very likely to consider that to be, should I think about this? Should I consider those reasons more deeply, or even possibly act on them? That's not generally the pattern in ways in which people think about ethics. That's those funny things that those people have decided to do over there, and this lot here do something different, and so on. So if it's become personal, it's probably become personal because this is a way of avoiding direct conflict, and this probably goes with a a suspicion of moralizing, of telling other people what to do, and and obviously, as we all have associations of moralizing figures that we may have reacted to, you know, sort of head teachers or vicars or whatever.
Remember at the beginning of the week, you said you have more an objection to the word moral than objectivity. Was that something tied in with that, that it has this idea of moralizing?
The only thing I have, the problem I have with morals is that it's, what's the word, considered the domain of religion.
Right.
And I don't think that that's necessary at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, up to the 18th century or so, that was very much the case. And obviously, even up till today, for many people consider it to be the domain of religion. But even when it's been moved out of the domain of religion, yeah, there's been a basic problem between, the death of God, as it were, has left a shadow. Either people have tried to substitute gods by another name, or they've been confused about what, you know, how else to order ethics or think about ethics.
A technical clarification here about the distinction between morality and ethics.
I don't make one personally.
You don't?
No. Some philosophers do, but I don't find it a particularly useful distinction. But
I find that helpful, the fact that you've said that it's okay not to make a distinction, because it's a question that came. I mean, I've not studied morality or ethics in any depth, but we did have a module, it was part of a nurse training on medical ethics and that kind of thing. It was a kind of question that people seemed to talk a lot about, but no one gave a convincing answer for what the difference was, so I'm quite happy to go with the possibility there isn't a difference, a substantial difference.
I think people feel in the present day a lot more comfortable using the term ethics than morality. In that example, people would feel comfortable saying medical morality. It's more comfortable with medical ethics.
I mean, the only difference that I've found useful is that the two words have got a slightly different flavour to them. And not that they've got substantially different meaning, but one seems to imply more of a kind of felt personal sense, the morality, the conscience, the kind of an individual thing, which maybe inclines more towards a relativistic stance than ethics, which tends to be more systematic and more global in its application.
I mean, they both come from words and meaning customs or what people do. And, you know, it's just one's Greek and the other's Roman. So
right. Okay.
Why did you choose moral objectivity over ethical objectivity?
No particular reason. A bit shorter. So I think there's a tendency towards substitution in some ways because of this confusion about ethics. People are tending, in my experience, to ascribe what used to be ethical characteristics to other sorts of requirements, if you like. So first one of those is political correctness. So obviously I think that there is some of the things which political correctness often prescribes, there's a good moral case for. So like, for example, use a gender neutral language for universal statements. But I do that because I think there's a moral case for it, rather than because it's politically correct. So if political correctness is taking the place of ethics, what's the justification for political correctness?
Convention.
Yeah, convention, yes. The basis of it. If it's strictly speaking political, then it's presumed because the government has told us to do this, which may or may not be any better, but... And more often it's convention, particularly in a particular professional context, maybe. Certainly in teaching, political correctness is required, except in the staff room behind closed doors. professionalism, there's similar issues here. I mean, my experience, again, in the teaching profession was so much that people often appeal to professionalism when they wouldn't dream of talking about ethics or ethical requirements. So it was a kind of substitute whereby people, you know, they did have a sense of what the right thing to do was, and in order for that to be socially acceptable, they had to say, well, that's professional, that's the professional thing to do, rather than just that's the right thing to do. So I suspect that may be the case in many other professional contexts.
There's a kind of a blurring, isn't there, because on the one hand, what it means to be a professional a lot of the time is quite linked to a professional code of conduct, ethical foundations, but it's also linked to things like certain competency standards, and so that's, it's an easy way of blurring the distinctions.
Indeed. So it may, in some cases professionalism may just come down to short-term economic requirements, for example, or not offending the customers or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, and then law. Now, law can substitute for ethics, particularly if you think about the kind of responses that companies make when they're criticised, say, that they might often say, well, we're not doing anything illegal, end of story, rather than actually accepting that there is a moral argument to be had or that they are morally responsible.
Might be a moral argument to pay tax, for example.
Indeed, yes.
Not doing anything wrong.
So, in which case, again, the sort of social recognition of ethics seems to have shrunk back, law has taken its place, but law is a very clumsy instrument for ethical practice. Then there's the language of rights. So again, the language of rights can be a way of talking about morality, and particularly the recognition of respect for persons, and that people have rights and so on. But the language of rights can also particularly have a legal, primarily refer to a legal requirement, and it can often focus particularly on claim rights, so what you expect the government to provide for you, for example, which is then focused on in isolation from a wider moral framework. So perhaps where people focus on what they expect from the government rather than their contribution to the political world themselves, their responsibility for the state, to contribute to the state rather than just what the state gives them. And then finally, popular psychology. So in other areas, popular psychology seems to have stepped into the vacuum left behind by ethics, to me. So if people are thinking about, I've got this difficult relationship issue, are they likely to think of this in moral terms? Well, no, much more likely to, it could be an agony aunt is the traditional kind of approach to this, or perhaps reading a popular psychology book, which would help provide some advice for in this kind of difficult situation in the relationship. But obviously, traditionally, that would have been seen as a moral question, and how we act in our intimate relationships seems to me basically a moral question. And obviously, psychology has a medical model with the limitations of the medical model that Julian's been talking about recently. In that it can only take you so far. It's intended to restore health, whatever health is, rather than taking you any further than that. And obviously, it depends on a conventional understanding of health. So I suppose the growth of all these things to me suggests a retreat of ethical thinking in society, which I would ascribe to a lack of clarity about it, primarily. But at the same time, it's not that we've given up talking in ethical ways, it's just that we're sort of cloaking our ethical thinking in these other ways, in these other guises. And I think it's very unlikely that we'll actually cease to think ethically in some way, because I think we all have moral experience of one kind or another, but Now, what's meant by moral experience is, of course, a rather debatable thing, and maybe that's something that perhaps we all need to ask ourselves, or what our moral experience actually is. Perhaps I can only speak for myself that I very often think, well, there are ways I ought to act and ways I ought not to act. And those are, to a greater or lesser extent, justifiable kinds of claims or beliefs that I might hold. But it seems to me important that we do link those beliefs to experience in some way, to avoid metaphysical thinking about ethics, our way forward has to be linked to experience. Whatever we call that experience, there are various ways, traditional ways of thinking about moral experience. So the idea of conscience is one of those, where people feel they have an internal voice of some kind. Now, obviously, you can metaphysicize that as well, and you can say it's the voice of God within you or whatever, but you can also leave out that metaphysical interpretation and just say, well, yes, there is an experience behind this. People do have a sense of conscience, which doesn't mean that the conscience will always necessarily be right, yeah. But it is an experience which we can work with and direct, just as our experience in other respects is something we can work with to help us to become more objective.
Justice and fairness seems to be a very primary moral experience, doesn't it?
It's
often observed that it seems to be one of the first things that children cotton on to. Certainly we feel it in a very visceral sense, either in terms of your own conscience towards other people, but particularly in terms of their obligations to you. If you feel like someone's treated you unfairly, it promotes
a very.
I think for me as well, morality is arguably the attempt to do what is best for the situation. So it's both other regarding, but also including yourself in the mix.
So I think our moral experience, well, it comes from our the metaphors we start to use from early infancy onwards, like the sort of infantile sense of justice, as you say, that and that those, the use of those metaphors is an attempt to address conditions, in whatever conditions we find ourselves, and it's something that we may start off with in a fairly crude form, and we can refine as we go on and address conditions better as we become more informed. So I think that's one assumption I'm working on, that we do have experience that we could call moral experience, even though I don't want to very precisely define moral experience, but that we can understand, we can interpret and refine that experience in increasingly better ways.
What do I mean?
What does your experience tell you is right or wrong? Does it tell you that, for example, let you give an example with libertarianism and altruism. Does your experience tell you that you should look after number one, or that you should look at the big picture and look after the interests holistically of you, expand your identifications? What does your experience tells you works?
Well, obviously my experience tells me that again, this is like kind of it's not that I kind of hold metaphysical beliefs around these things as such, but I kind of make assumptions. So it's like I kind of accept that, I might be wrong, but it seems this way. It's like the idea that there's some kind of inherent justice in the world is a metaphysical belief, but it's one that supports a kind of libertarian point of view, in the sense that, well, you work hard, you deserve it, and people will get what they deserve. If we just take away all the rules and stop interfering, then the natural justice of the universe will just flourish.
Yeah.
People end up in the ditch with no food deserve to be there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the kind of... Now, I've got no way of kind of saying that that's definitely not the case because it's a metaphysical claim, but I think it's probably wrong. And so I kind of make the assumption that it's wrong and work on that kind of...
Yeah, but what do you make... Do you pick that assumption just out of thin air, or is it based on
your... The fact that it doesn't work in my experience, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what else can you go... This, you've basically summed up Robert's view that we base our justifications on experience, and that's all we can do, and they're only going to be provisional, but that's okay.
And we can have confidence in justified for experience, and especially... the more we've actually looked at the alternative points of view and examined them, and if we still maintain a view on the basis of experience, then we can feel even more confidence in that view.
Yeah.
You're never going to know.
Oh, sure, I accept that, yeah.
I'm familiar about some of the notes, some of the thoughts I had. I don't know how coherent it is. Yeah, right at the beginning I thought it was interesting about... we were saying the loss of ethics in society. I don't know if that's true or not, but it does make me think, you know, sometimes on our website we say we're a very ethical company, and it sort of struck me then that, you know, that really shouldn't need to be said. You know, all companies should be ethical, but it's not. It's a niche. You know, to be an ethical company is a minority. And I thought, wow, that's terrible. So that's interesting. But that goes back to what I was saying the other day, but I don't think that companies should have the status of a person, because the companies themselves don't have ethics. Or they need some other kind of status to make them, to make ethics part of the corporation.